spark of the cross, forgiveness and grace.
Amen.
The choir sang power in the blood. As I walk down to the altar to pray, after all of these years and so many miles,
still has to flee. There's still hope in the cross,
and that's what I still believe in. I knew I needed God's grace. I felt so so plain to see by the tears on my face. And God reached down his hand.
He forgave me.
And he broke every chain. Now I've been set free. So I lift my
oh.
Missions. That's where the Vienna sausage and the pinto beans come out. We'll bring those, please, today as we, you know, for our food pantry and for our mission efforts. And also then 6 o'clock will be Five Languages of Love over in the Family Life Center. Lynn, you lead us in our prayer, please.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, come before you today. Thank you for being blessed and filling you with our hills. Thank you for being able to come out to the house this morning to worship you. We pray for the food of the day as you bring the message. If anyone here is on the check, Christ is your soldier. We will do so for the good of all. We pray that you will bless this offering.
Opportunity to thank all of you for the prayers that you set up for me and the passing of my brother. And I was thinking, he's my last sibling besides me, so I guess that means I'm next, but I hope it's not soon. Also, I got a real surprise when I came back, and a couple of days later, there was a beautiful bouquet of flowers from my choir. And I want to thank everybody for this. And I especially want to thank my Savior for helping me and helping us all as we go through these trials in our
Amen.
Life.
Amen.
And you know, he is a wonderful Savior. Amen. The song I have today is No Wonder They Call Him Savior.
Amen. Was shed to redeem the world.
No wonder some call him Lord. Yes, they led him up to Calvary, to an old rugged cross. There they mocked him. They cursed his holy name. Yet even while he was dying, he gave life to a thief beside him. No wonder they call him the Savior. No wonder they call him Messiah, for his precious blood he shed to redeem the world. And no wonder they call him God's holy land. No wonder some call him Lord. And they led him up to Calvary, to an old rugged cross. There they mocked him, cursed him, cursed his holy name. Yet even while he was dying, he gave life to a thief beside him. No wonder they call him the Savior. No wonder.
Thank you, Miss Virginia. As usual, always good.
We
been friends with Miss Virginia since back in the late 70s, early 80s, and always blessed me to hear you say. It's good to see all of you here on the Lord's Day, and we're still missing a few. Have visitors all the way from Northern California today. Glad to have you visit with us this morning. And the way I always try to welcome visitors is this way. If this is your very first time, we just welcome you. We're so glad, so happy you've chosen to worship with us. Now, if this is your second or third time, we no longer count you a visitor. We want you just to join in, feel just like you're at home, worship, and just praise, and just have a good time in the Lord. It's about Him. It isn't about us.
It's Amen.
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 Right.
Amen.
Well, we're happy to have you. This is a celebration of Labor Day, and my wife has already told me we're going to celebrate at our house. But, she's going to let me. It's come to that. She tells me now in the morning, I'm going to let you do this today. And well, how can I argue, you know, she's the boss. You know, some men are henpecked and others are liars. They'll lie about it. And I just admit, I told one church, I said, I think I'm handpicked. I think I am. I'll let you help me this morning. I said, the other afternoon, I was sitting in the den, and my wife came in, handed me my jacket, and I asked her, am I cold or am I going? You might be impacted if you ask if you're cold or going somewhere. We're going to look at this thing about work today. It's a godly precept. It's a godly principle.
That's right.
And we're going to look at it today. And so before I preach, don't any of you get angry with me now. I'm just trying to expose the truth, the Word of God. Our nation has gone through travail several times as a nation. One of them was during the Great Depression. The saddest thing to come out of the Depression, and I'm going to get behind this chair where I can duck. The saddest thing to come out of the Great Depression was welfare. Mm-hmm. We have created a monster that we don't have any idea how to put it back in the box. Little third grade boy. The Bible teaches sin will be felt to the second and third generation. Little third grade boy where I pastored one time, I was talking with the boys and girls in the children's department, and I was talking about how honorable it is to work. And I was expounding something to the effect of this sermon. And the little boy announced to me right away, well, I'm not going to work. And I said, well, son, we all have to work. He said, well, I'm not going to. And I said, well, how do you suppose that you're going to make a living in life? How do you suppose you're going to eat and clothe yourself and have a place to stay? Out of a third grader's mouth, he looked at me. He said, I'm going to sit on the front porch with my granddaddy and my daddy and wait on the mailman to bring our children. That's sad.
Yeah.
It's not biblical. There's never a week passes that someone doesn't knock on the door and ask whoever's here for a helping hand. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't go away and say I said something that I didn't say. I believe in helping.
Right.
But I also believe in teaching the precept of helping oneself.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
Take your Bible and turn with us this morning to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. What was going on at Thessalonica? The church was now coming under persecution. And because of that, if you profess to believe that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, and that he came and took your sins to the cross and died for you, and was buried, and the third day he resurrected, If you profess to believe that, then those who were coming out of Judaism begin to cut off some people, begin to call in some notes early. People were losing their homes and farms and their livestock, and they were lost their jobs and their employment. And they became marked people. Oh, that's one of those Jesus followers. Among Judaism, they said, don't hire them. And it had begun to creep all over the countryside. And so, at that time, Jesus had made a promise. We're still looking for it today. He had told them that he was coming again.
Amen.
And they were looking for that. They were expecting that.
Right.
And so some of them who had been blessed with bountiful pieces of property and land and herds and whatever, they began to sell what they had. And they began to distribute it among those who were less fortunate, had lost their jobs and been persecuted against. As time went along, then there came a mindset. Hey, if the church has money, there's not a bit of need. If so-and-so sold their farm and gave it all to the pastor to take care of the needs of the community, then why should those who lost their job get to eat off the church and me have to go to a job? And so they began to quit their job. They wasn't being persecuted against. They let that gene, every one of us, if we'll admit it, has that gene dwelling in our makeup. It's called laziness.
Yeah.
You ever bothered with it? I'm bothered with it. I won't lie to you, you know.
Yeah, me too.
I'm sort of like a Harley Davidson motorcycle. Sarah has to choke me and kick start me to get me started in the morning. I pulled this a while back. She was getting ready to get up, and I said, "You know, I'm the king of this castle." She said, "You are?" I said, "Yeah." And I expect this morning for my breakfast to be served in bed. She said, "No problem." Walked out of the bedroom and closed the door. I'm lying there with a smile, and I'm wondering. I wonder if she's going to fix bacon and eggs. And about that time, the door opened about this wide. And a moon tied on David come at me at about 40 miles an hour. And she said, "Do you want juice with that?" I said, "Hold the juice. I'll eat her dry." We have that gene that bothers all of us. That, just to be quite honest, we'd like to sit on the front porch and wait for them to bring a check.
Amen.
It's not godly. We're going to look at that this morning. You know the drill. If you're able to stand in reverence for the reading of God's word, we'd ask you to do that. If you're unable to, you just sit right still. No one will think the less of you. Chapter 3, 2 Thessalonians. We're going to begin looking in verse 6. Now remember, the Holy Spirit of God has moved upon Paul to write to the church at Thessalonica. So this isn't really, listen to me carefully, this isn't Paul's word.
This is God's word.
That's right.
So let's take it straight from the author. Not the penman, but the author. Look, if you will, verse 6. Now we command you. That's pretty strong language. We command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorder, and not after the tradition which he received of us. For yourselves know how you ought to follow us. For we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Right now, let me pause there for a second. Right now, there are people buying into the idea that if I give this party or that party a right good sum of money, if they win, I'll have a foot into the White House. I can get things done. Amen? Mm-hmm. That's what he's saying. I'm not chargeable. He said, I work night and day among you so that I wouldn't be chargeable to any of you. There's none of you. I don't know any of you. Political favor. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work. Now underline that word would. He didn't say could not work. He said would not work. There's a difference. Amen?
Right.
There's little children that have been all but abandoned. That can't go to a job. They need help. There are widows and some people that have been abandoned that need some help.
Right.
He wasn't talking to that. He's talking to those who would not work, neither should he eat.
Amen.
Wow, that's pretty straight stuff. Amen.
Amen.
He that would not work should not eat.
Amen.
For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. I challenge you to bring you a yard chair and sit on the front porch of the church one day and count the people who go by back and forth, and some of the same cars keep this room hot all day long, and if you'll follow them home, they will not work.
Amen.
Now then that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. Let's pray. Master, thank you for the precept. It was brought on by our disorderliness. We understand that. We have come to fall under the curse of sin. Because of that, we must go out and work to earn our bread.
Yes.
press home this idea in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, some of you, I'm sure, saying by now that I've quit preaching and gone to Methodist. I want you to understand something. As you look out across America, you've heard me preach in the last few weeks. We have some problems. We've got some great problems in this country.
Amen.
But ladies and gentlemen, you still live in the greatest land on planet Earth.
Right. Amen.
When you go to the Big Apple, go up to New York, and look the vastness of that city over, let me tell you something. When our forefathers arrived here, most of that was swampland.
That's right.
Yeah. Hours and hours, man hour after man hour after man hour was put into the cultivating the city of New York. Mm-hmm. One building, one structure after another. And you go across this land from ocean to ocean, border to border, and this beautiful land has been developed by hard-working people.
Amen.
Hmm. And so we come to recognize that God has blessed and honored on every continent hard-working people.
Right.
We are now approaching epidemic levels of people who just don't have any work ethic at all. Mm-hmm. We're wondering why our companies across America are sending their plants to other countries. Well, I can tell you part of it is we have hit an all-time low in the factor that we no longer are hardworking people that are proud of what we do with our hands. I've heard them, you have too. Well, I've shown up this morning. Now it's up to them to get it out of there. There was a time, and I can remember the time when men showed up and women showed up at their job. And they didn't even have a water cooler back in those days, and they didn't have free coffee and donuts the first thing in the morning, and they wasn't given a 15-minute break before lunch and a 15-minute break after lunch by law, but they showed up with their tools 10, 15 minutes early and would start 5 to 10 minutes early. And all day long, they put their life's blood into a product that when it went out the door, they were proud to be part of it.
Amen.
Right.
That's long been lost.
Yeah.
Long been lost. There's a few. There's always an exception to the fact. There's a few who are still doing that. Matter of fact, they are the joke at the water fountain. Mm-hmm. To tell the truth, they're the joke at the water fountain. Oh, so-and-so, boy, they company people. They're just working their self silly. And at the end of the week, they don't get any more money than I do, and I spend half my time in the bathroom of the water fountain. He's plumb goofy. She's plumb goofy. Because the work ethic has been shot in the foot. Amen?
Amen.
Let's look at this real quickly. First of all, word. Where did this idea come from? Who in the world came up with this idea? Well, it's a biblical principle. Take your Bible and turn back with me to Genesis chapter 3. By the way, this reveals this thing I was just talking about. Verse 17, chapter 3 of Genesis. And unto Adam God said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife. Have you thought much about this? God doesn't call Eve the first sinner. Well, according to my Bible, she's the one that picked the fruit and went home late to Sabbath. Amen?
That's right.
Well, where did God get off of recording through the Word that Adam was the first sinner? She's the first one who disobeyed. Well, the Bible tells us. The devil, that old crafty he's walking back in those days.
That's true.
Science now has said that there is evidence that there was a time that serpents had limbs.
Amen.
What about that?
Yeah.
But just read the Bible, Ed had discovered that years ago.
Amen.
And a curse was put on that sorry serpent that he had to crawl on his belly the rest of the days of his existence. That old serpent, by the way, some of you won't agree with me, there's not a more beautifully colored and arrayed animal or reptile in all of creation than a snake. Now we get the heebie-jeebies and the shivers and we don't want to be close to them, but to tell the truth, they're beautiful. As many colors as you want to look at across the rainbow.
Exactly.
But that old serpent, probably, very, very beautiful as he walked amongst the others. And he came to Eve. And he tricked her. He beguiled her. He sold her a bill of goods. Why, you're not going to surely die if you eat of this. And so she was tricked into picking the fruit. He made her disbelieve God.
Amen.
But now God had made the man to be the head of the home. First created, put him in charge of the home, and so he gets home and she's made a salad, and right off he looks at this salad and he said, honey, this is new. I don't remember eating this before. And she, now I'm paraphrasing now, I'm putting the pieces together. Well, honey, I've already tried it, and it's good. And guess what? I didn't die. I can imagine, Don David, the conversation going something like, what have you done? Well, I went down there, and I talked with the serpent. And he convinced me I wouldn't die. And honey, I brought it home, and surely you wouldn't hurt my feelings. But not even the Sabbath. Well, see, it's a dead giveaway. It's a dead giveaway. Adam had already sinned. He'd already made a mistake. All the other of God's creation had a mate except him. God had something in mind for him. He put him to sleep for certain. He's an anesthesiologist. He caused a deep sleep to come upon Adam.
That's right.
Amen.
And then he was a surgeon, took out a rib. Yeah. I tell my wife all the time, he took a rib. Had he wanted you to be real smart, he'd have took a piece of skull. That's just before the battle. He put a deep sleep upon Adam, and he took a rib and made him a helpmate. And as my Bible records it, as he woke up, now we today call them woman. That wasn't the way it was in the Hebrew. Actually, you go back, trace this down. I'm not forcing the scripture. When Adam woke up and saw what God had done with his rib, this is what he said. What? Man!
Right.
He was excited. Woo! That little boy was just overcome.
Right.
And he just fell passionately in love with her. So dangerously in love that by the time that she made this sound, he would rather have her graces than to have God's graces.
That's right.
He had to choose that day to honor God and his word or this beautiful helpmate that God had given.
Yeah.
And therefore, you see, when Eve was out there, she wasn't choosing between God. She was listening to a story.
Yeah.
Somebody was really filling her head full of bad stuff. And she was so absorbed in Satan's story that she didn't really consider she was going against God.
Amen.
Adam knew.
Yes, he did.
That he's going against God.
Yes, he did.
And therefore, he's listed in the scripture as the first sinner.
Right.
Now, God said, you can't get by. He said, he hastened, hearkened unto the voice of his wife, and asked, Adam, you've eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cold. Mm-hmm. Now, Adam, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread. He said, from this day forward, things aren't going to be cool. You're going to have to labor. It's going to cause you to perspire. And it's going to cause blisters. It's going to cause calluses, and all the days of your life and all those who follow you in the human race are going to have to work in in order to eat.
Amen.
That's a biblical precept.
Yeah.
That's a godly precept. So God assigned this.
Right.
This is God's word. We forget that. The Sunday school lesson this morning in our class, they talked about this is God's world. We forget that. This isn't my world or your world. This is God's world.
Amen.
And He fixed it. He fixed it until you have to work in order to eat.
Right.
Listen, hurry up. Well, there's power in work. Do you understand that? Now, some people call it luck. Most of my life, I've had two jobs, but not three.
Yeah, me too.
you say, now, preacher, that's exactly. No, I'm serious. I've worked as a mechanic, pastored a church, and drove a tractor all at the same time. Three different jobs. I know what it is to crawl out of bed at 3 o'clock in the morning and it's snowing and go pick up somebody who has experienced way too much of the fruit of the vine. After working all day and visiting after I came home. I've worked. But let me tell you something that I've discovered about work. The harder I work, the longer I work, the better my luck gets.
Amen.
You won't believe how lucky I am. I own my own home.
Yeah.
I own several vehicles. I eat well. It's amazing how lucky I am. Now, early on, I can remember Sarah and I, when we were in the Navy, I can remember going over, don't you tell anybody. It started an awful rumor. I was married in the service, and therefore I couldn't eat in the mess hall. I had to eat at home in brown bag. And I would go over to the mess hall. Sarah was home hungry. When we got through paying our rent was taken out and car insurance had to be paid and gasoline and she had $10 every 2 weeks to go to the commissary and buy groceries for two people.
Yeah.
Now I know times was different then, but let me tell you something. You could bring home in the glove box $10 worth of groceries.
Right.
And there was many an evening down toward the end of 2 weeks that we were financially embarrassed. Mm-hmm. We were broke.
Yeah.
And we didn't have anything in the refrigerator to cover. I can remember going and looking in the refrigerator at a bottle of ketchup and I think, if I had some bread, I'd make me a ketchup sandwich. But there was no bread there. And I would go over to the chow hall and find some of my buddies in line. And I'd say, man, I don't care if you put it in your pocket or your sock leg or anywhere, bring me something out of there. And they would go into the chow hall. And I'd have them say, pull around back. And they would come out and pass me like Steve Spurrier, a turkey, clear from the a full, already cooked turkey. And fruit cocktail by the gallon can. Beans by the gallon can. Now, we ate, but it was on the slide. I haven't had to go and eat stolen turkey in a long time.
Amen.
Because the harder I have worked, the luckier I've got. And I can go buy a whole field full of turkeys now. God blesses. There's power in work.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
You work, therefore you meet. You work, therefore you have. You work, and your borders expand.
Yeah.
Let me close with this. There's a proper attitude about work. In closing, there's two bad ideas about work. First of all, if you're not careful, there's a little word called greed that'll find its way into your life.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Remember the rich farmer? That his land, he'd worked hard. Bible doesn't say he didn't.
Right.
He'd worked hard. But he got to thinking within himself that he would tear down his barns, build greater, and bestow all of his goods. And the rest of his life he would eat, drink, and be married.
Yeah.
You know what God's answer to that theology was? This night. This night. You're going to cash in. You're going to leave the farm. You're going to leave your small barn and good crops and come home.
Amen.
Be careful with greed. Then there's the opposite end of that. You see? There's the opposite end of that. That we get so fearful that we become workaholics. And all we can do is think about work and making another dollar. And it becomes a sickness. I know several people who are in dealing with it, even as I speak. There's a happy medium. There's a happy medium. God wants us to incorporate work into our life.
That's true.
But don't ever miss this. Don't ever miss this. The well-rounded man or woman incorporates work, and right alongside it, they incorporate worship.
Amen.
I thank God every day.
Amen.
Had I been homeschooled, I wouldn't even have been the Val Victorian of that place. I was sort of on the short end of smart. But let me tell you something. I thank God every day for enough understanding, enough teaching to understand that I need to get up, go work.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
But along with that work ethic that was taught me, my mother and dad taught me, it's not enough just to work. But you've got to come right alongside that with worship.
Amen.
It was he who gave us the smarts, the physical limbs that will cooperate with our mind in order to go out, and if it's a beautician or a brick mason or a carpenter or a physician or whatever it is, God's given you the grace to work.
Amen.
We need to worship him for what he's endowed us with.
Yeah.
Right.
Amen.
Answer that. Well, it's late today. And as I look about the building, I perceive that you're hardworking folks. You've come to the service. You've been fed. You've probably driven here. You have nice clothes on. And secondly, you've come to thank you.
Amen.
We really need to pray this morning that our nation could turn the corner.
Yeah.
And come back to the idea that work is as godly as going to Sunday school.
Sure.
Father, Thank you. Thank you. Lord, you've been so good to us. I could never praise you enough for what you've done for us. Lord, we just now bow before you and say, praise your holy name for your goodness, your kindness. Thank you for parents who taught us good work ethic. And Lord, thank you for parents who also taught us how important it was to wash. Bless now this day. If there's one here, Lord, that you've spoken to, whatever the need, first time profession of faith, believer's baptism, church membership, whatever it would be, I pray in Jesus' name they'll find the courage to immediately, before they even begin to sing, they'll step out and come this way, this day in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Would you stand as we sing? Who wants to be first?
We hope you enjoyed this week's message, and if you will, you may share this video with a friend or family member. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, it's the best decision you'll ever make. It's as simple. A, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. B, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And C, confess Him as your Savior, and you can pray a prayer like this: Dear God, I'm a sinner. I've done wrong. I need you. And you died for me on the cross and promised to save me. If I'd only trust you, I do trust you, Jesus. Come into my heart. Forgive my sins. Save my soul so I can go to heaven when I die. If you prayed that prayer, you can notify us. We have some materials we'd like to share with you and get you started right in your Christian faith. To learn more about our church, just again, visit us on website, WilliamsCreekBaptist.org, and don't forget to check back with us next Sunday for the message of the hour. God bless.